It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
All right. We are... Oh, my goodness. We are now chewing on chapter 45 of the book of Genesis. Remember, this is what we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we chew on a chapter as we go in chronological order from Genesis chapter 1. We have had thus far 44 episodes of chewing that, trying to understand what's happening. All right, I don't know what's happening with our line with Elder Mwemba. We're supposed to be having him on the line already, but the line to the good elder is ringing. He's just not picking up. But I'm hoping he will pick up in a short while so that we can get our chew on that segment underway. All right, he just dropped that line for him. I don't know what's going on. All right, somebody tell Elder Mwemba that we're trying to reach him because his line is ringing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Elder Mwemba, good afternoon to you. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Elder. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Lovely. We are doing chapter 45, Elder. Is that correct?
Yes. Lovely. Chapter 45 of Genesis.
Yeah. So, fairly short chapter, so I'm going to read it quickly, and then you can give me your comments on it in about 3 minutes, and then we get into the questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Lovely, lovely. All right, it reads, and again, as per usual, I'm reading it from the New International Version. It reads as follows. Okay. My screen here is playing games with me, and I'm trying to see if I cannot... Okay. Let's move on. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard him about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. But Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who I am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings because the best of all Egypt will be yours. So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father. 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Elder O'Neill Mwemba, please give us your comments. What would you like us to focus on? Then we can get into the questions. Go on.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, my brother, for reading of the word and for this discussion today. A very profound chapter that we have. Yeah. And I'd like to draw the listener's attention to about 3 points in this chapter. Point number 1 is that Joseph, when he disclosed himself to his brothers, he was quick to tell them not to worry, not to be depressed, and not to be distressed, and not to be angry. And he made them know that it was for a reason why he was there, that it was, they must not blame themselves for what they did, because it's not them that they did it, but God who took him to Egypt. Point number 1. Number 2, that Joseph made sure that when he now had fully revealed himself, because this is a time when there was a famine, he made sure that his family must be where he was. And not only where he was, but provide everything for them, including their children and their grandchildren. Number 3, okay, he had to make sure that he tells them, he sends food with them as they go. And just to make sure that he tells the father that he's still alive and they must come quickly. They must not delay. These are the 3 points I want to focus on, okay? In the first point is there is so much forgiveness that comes from Joseph. He exhibits a lot of love and forgiveness for his brothers. Even when they knew they sold him to Egypt, they did what they did to Egypt. And when he revealed himself to them, you could see that they were scared, they were terrified at his presence, that Bible tells us. He saw that. But because he had already forgiven, you know, he couldn't hold it anymore. He wept, and the tears that Joseph shed were tears of joy. Tears of joy that he was separated from his family, and now he had a chance to meet his family, and he was happy that he could meet his family. And not only was he happy, but then he had to reveal himself who he was. And he was quick to forgive them. He says, "My brothers, I know you did this to me. But look, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for doing what you did to me. I want you to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that it was for a time such as this one that my presence here was necessary. Because if I had not been here, you, my brothers and my parents, and all this lineage would have perished with hunger. But look, the Lord, he has made me Lord of Egypt. He's made me father of Egypt. I'm in charge. Me, your brother, I am in charge. So you will not worry about the famine. That is, not only is it upon us for 2 years, there's three more years to come.
Five.
I want you to see this. There's 5 more years to come to make it 7. So please, I am your brother. Come live with me. So God sent me here ahead of you to preserve you, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. That is profound.
I'm curious then, Mdala, right there on that note, verse 5 is rather curious, because throughout, as we started reading this, we don't see God anywhere here. But then again, Joseph seems to be bringing in God in verse 5. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Where did Joseph get that from, Mdala?
You know, when we read the Bible, and just when we go chapters before this, when Joseph was sold and the dreams, remember the dreams, how he dreamt about his the sheaves for the brothers, about and him being worshipped by the stars and the moons and everything. He also didn't understand that dream at that time. But when all these things happened, when he was in Egypt, he was thrown into prison, and he was taken out of there, and now he's made ruler, and all that. The Bible tells us that God was with him.
No, it's not the Bible that tells us, it's Joseph. And my question is, where does Joseph get it from, that it was God who sent him there?
Yes, I'm getting to that. There is where the Bible tells us God was with Joseph in his predicaments. You get my point? It was Joseph's relationship with God.
No, Mdala.
I'm coming to the point. I just want
We don't have much time. I need you to get to, though, because we have a lot of chapter to get. I need you to get to the answer. Where does Joseph get to that? Because we only 17 minutes, and we have a lot of ground to cover. So I need us to move a speedier. Go ahead.
Okay, so Joseph understood. My answer is yeah. Joseph understood that, look, if I hadn't been in the position that where I am today, my family would have perished. My family could not have this because there's hunger out there. Now, it can only be God. It is going to only be God's working for me to be where I am today. Yes, I could have passed whatever I passed through, but look where I am today. That's when he realized and told his brothers to say, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives, because he understood his relevance. He understood where he was at that time and with relation to what the family was going through, his brothers. I hope that answers the question there.
The Bible says when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, the Bible does say God was with him and made him prosper.
Yes.
When Joseph was in prison, the Bible does say God was with Joseph. But the Bible does not say that when the brothers sold Joseph, God was with the brothers. But Joseph is making that statement that the action of selling Joseph to the Ishmaelites, who ultimately sold him to Egypt, was an action of God. Where did he get that from?
Joseph understood, Mdala, after what he went through, to be where he was at that time, even as a foreigner, let me use that word, even as a foreigner, to be where he was at that time, he understood that it could only be God.
Okay, so this is conjecture.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So it's not the Bible that says it, it's just his imagination.
Yes. I mean, when you understand, Dala, where you have been through, the circumstances that surround you,
right,
and how things are unfolding, you come to understand the grace of God in your life. And this is what Joseph did here.
Right.
He understood his assignment.
Yeah.
And that's why he was quick to tell his brothers, look, do not be angry with yourselves.
Yeah.
Because I have come to a place where I understand the reason why you sold me.
I say this, Ndala, because we need to apply this to our lives. Many are people who have been sold out by their own brothers and sisters, by their own parents, in many situations. Can we say that those hideous actions by family members to their own family members are an act of God purely because now the person who was abused is now successful? Can a young boy who was molested at an age by his parents or his father, a young girl who was molested by his father, can a woman who was abused by her husband, can a child who was abandoned by the parents, by virtue of being successful later on in life, therefore say, all of what my abusers and abandoners and everyone who was supposed to do good to me, all of what they did was an act of God? Is that what we're supposed to be saying, Imdal?
I wouldn't say everything is an act of God.
Then how do we arrive at this conclusion, Doug?
But God allows certain things to happen in our lives because he wants us to be somewhere.
Granted. I have no problem with that. Remember, Mdada, the focus is how do we know? Because if we're saying Joseph looked at his ultimate success and then surmised within himself that all the abuse that he suffered from his brothers was an act of God. Now, my question is, when O'Neill Mwemba looks at his success now, and yet O'Neill Mwemba was abused and molested in his youth, in his childhood, shall O'Neill Mwemba say, I forgive my abusers because it was an act of God? Can we ever say the abuse that O'Neill Mwemba experienced in his youth from his brothers, his father, whoever may have abused him, is an act of God? And if we cannot, how do we determine? Because here the Bible doesn't say God told him. You're simply saying he understood his assignment. Now that it's successful, he now knew. How do we know? Let's apply that to our lives today. How do we know that our erstwhile abusers were leading us to being successful today?
Romans 8:28 tells us, and I quote, "And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him."
Right.
"Who are called according to his purpose."
Right.
Now, we might not understand everything that happens, you know, especially when we are in it. Joseph was in prison. If he was like any one of us, he would say, "God, why? You know I did not do it. You know I am not guilty of sin."
I understand him, Dad. I understand.
I
need you to help me with this part, Dad, the application. Should we then look at the actions of the abusers as an act of God?
In this instance, yes.
No, in our instances, Imdala. Remember, we read the Bible so that we can be able to learn to live our lives. So how do we look at our lives now? When in the year 2024...
If you go through something...
Right.
Including abuse, that
right.
you put it.
Right.
And it ends up putting you in a place, in a good place,
right,
that you are in favor with God, and a blessing to man.
Right.
Then it was an act of God.
Wow.
because if that did not happen to you,
right,
you were going to be comfortable where you are, and this would have not happened.
Yeah.
God works in peculiar ways that we do not understand.
Okay.
Sometimes when he speaks to us with that still small voice and tells us to go somewhere, we don't listen.
Yeah.
because the road seems bumpy and thorny and everything, we don't want to do it.
Hey.
But how does he force us to go there? He throws us in the fish's belly, for instance, to take us to Nineveh. You understand? Sometimes God allows certain things, including abuse, to happen to us, to push us to certain levels, to push us to certain places, because we just don't listen.
So abusers
must... We're so comforted.
So abusers must continue abusing.
No. You are missing the point.
I'm saying,
if what has happened to our life, including abuse, if it has happened, has put us in a place where we are,
yes,
in favor or with God,
right,
and a blessing to man,
right,
then it was an act of God.
We have many women today, Mdala, who find themselves prostituted by their parents because their parents are poor and they have no way of a livelihood. And because there's a girl child here, a 6, 7, 8 year old, they get prostituted and sold off into an unwilling marriage. And the child becomes successful and stays at marriage and they get the money. So effectively, you're saying that should continue. That's an act of God.
No, I'm not saying. You know, we must draw. There's a very thin line.
Okay.
Very thin line between good and evil. And as a matter of fact, we've been talking about the great controversy, the controversy between good and evil. There's a very, very thin line. And God will not let us go through any persecution or perilous times that we cannot handle.
Okay.
As individuals.
All right. I want us to move on. Let's move on, Mdala. There's two more things that I wanted us to just hammer on. We're looking at the response of the Pharaoh here. Verse 16, when the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. And the list goes on. We know what happened. Here's my question. When we look at Egypt, we know what Egypt is. It's a land of idol worshippers, right? It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah is a land of idol worshippers. Just like Canaan was a land of idol worshippers. But there appears to be a push to go to Canaan. God sends Abraham to go to Canaan. Jacob's supposed to go to Canaan, return to Canaan. Now we know Lot went to Canaan, to Sodom and Gomorrah. We now know God sent, according to Joseph, sent Joseph to Egypt, to the land. And yet we are saying to people, come out of her, my people. Why? What exactly are we learning in these stories? Because the three angels' message dictates that we must encourage people to stay away from environment where their faith is not going to be increased. We know in the life of Joseph, we don't see any of their descendants retaining their worship of the Yahweh that their father Joseph was worshiping. They lost that relationship with God by virtue of going to Goshen and living in Egypt in Goshen. Here's my question. What are we supposed to learn when every time we see these successes found in the land of idol worshippers, and yet the three angels' message says, come out of her, my people?
Good question. And I love the way you've put it. This lesson about Joseph, it's a very good one. And it relates very well with what happens to our world today. You know? And we must remember that God is a God of everyone. And heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to the Lord. And even a sinful nation or place like Egypt, they at that time, and Canaan and Geshur, God had a mission. And he had to make sure that he sent in a missionary. He sent in somebody there in the name of Joseph. Now, why did the Pharaoh and his men and everybody rejoice? instead of getting upset, to say, look at these Hebrews or whatever they have come from. No. They rejoiced. Why? Because of the kind of person that Joseph was.
Sorry, Mdala, I'm running out of time. I really would like to understand, what are we supposed to learn? Should we no longer preach the three angels' message, one of which says, come out of her, my people? Should we encourage people to go to the land of idol worshippers and become one of them? Because Joseph here is an example who became an Egyptian. He married a woman, an Egyptian woman, and have two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, by this Egyptian woman. He became an Egyptian through and through. My question is, should we no longer preach, come out of her, my children, seeing that they were brought into her?
We should continue preaching that. All I'm saying is that when God has a mission and he wants you to serve people,
right,
you can do it. You can go into that land,
right,
because he's got a mission and God is with you throughout. And if you remember those parts of scripture that you read back to me where it says God was with him. God was with him, meaning he was a messenger. He had a message of love. He had a message to those people on how you must live. He was a very perfect example of how God's people must be. And that's why he had favor.
We don't see any example of that. We have no record of any of them converting.
Yes, the Bible is silent. Unfortunately, the Bible is silent over those things. But if you look at the life that Joseph led,
right,
he led an exemplary life that he found favor even to the Pharaoh, because he was somebody. I mean, it's not easy, Mdala, to go in a foreign land and be made governor.
But don't see the Pharaoh converting still in spite of all his good example. We don't see Potiphar converting in spite of all his good works. Even though the woman, Potiphar's wife, she never converted. We don't see any of these people converted in spite of all the good example you're suggesting Joseph was. So for what purpose? Yeah,
I will maintain my stance, Mdala. God has had a mission for this man to be an example. This is how you live. And then that part in verse 5, where he says, God sent me here,
right,
so that I can save your lives. We shouldn't forget that man. Jacob was a man of God.
Joseph.
And God knew. The father.
Right.
He knew that at some point there will be a famine.
Right.
Which will wipe away all the people.
Right.
How do I save my people?
Mm.
Allow Joseph go into captivity, become a slave.
Right.
Then later make him great. At a time when there was famine,
right,
here the sun rises and he says, look, I am here. I'm here because I now understand,
right,
that I'm here.
All right.
But we learn forgiveness in here. We learn purpose. We learn to understand that sometimes certain things will happen in our lives because God has a purpose for us.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Mdala. I really wanted us to just touch one more issue, but my time is up. I cannot bring that up because it's going to take us another long while. Hopefully, we'll be able to just zoom in and go in and out of all the questions on Wednesday. Thank you very much, Mdala. Really appreciate your time and your insights. Let's meet again on Wednesday. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, too.
Thank you very much. It's Elder O'Neill Mwemba, who is helping us chew on the chapters for this week. Today was chapter 45, and on Wednesday, it will be chapter 46. All trying to understand, what exactly are we supposed to be learning from these chapters? What are we missing when we read? And I would like to encourage you not just read, but study it and chew on it.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.